All right, welcome back, everybody, as we get going here on Sports Talk. Happy Wednesday. Today is the 17th day of January already. My goodness. New Year is flying by. And that's, you know, that's just goes to show you what happens when, you know, a lot of things are going on sports-wise. For us, UTEP, NFL playoffs. We just had the bowl championships, the bowl playoff championships. Just a lot going on. Who's hiding back there, Alberto?
That's right, Alberto Ureta is here.
Good. Appreciate that. Good to see you, man. Excellent. Along with Adrian Broaddus, I'm Steve Kaplow. It's coming your way. 600 ESPN El Paso. Our telephone number is 505-6009. That's 505-6009. Just took a call before we went on the air today. Daniel wants to know why the Foss hasn't come on. I had to tell him, well, we haven't invited him back on yet. I mean, you know, it's I know it's interesting because some of our listeners think that guests are like callers, meaning callers can call up whenever. Guests come on the show when they're asked to come on the show. A different, totally different situation. Totally different situation. And, you know, Foss might have expected to have been on by now to talk about the Cowboys, but now we'll save him till the end of the week when we've got Friday's show and we can talk more about the divisional playoff round. We'll get him on then. But that's why. It's not like Foss is afraid to call the show. No. We just haven't asked him to call into the show. Yesterday we were busy. We had Bob Moore at 5. We had John Teicher at 6. Today we've got Jay Jaffe and Jeff Erickson. I mean, these are busy shows.
Tomorrow, we're live at the District West, 3233 North Mesa.
Going to be back there, by the way. I'm excited about being back there.
We're busy, man. It's
we
a busy time
busy.
Of year.
We are. That's right. We are very busy. So, and, you know, that's part of the fun this time of year, is getting a chance to have these radio shows and do it. We did spend a lot of time yesterday on the story with the Don Haskins statue project, but yesterday UTEP sent out the release. Thanks to Dan and Joanne Longoria and the university, they have a date, February 24th. That is going to be the public pep rally before the 83-84 reunion game with UTEP playing that night against Sam Houston State. And super excited about that, Adrian. Number one, love the fact that we've got the 03-04 team coming in a few weeks earlier and then the 83-84 team coming back for their reunion. And coinciding that with the Don Haskins statue dedication and unveiling, it's going to be fantastic.
It will be. And I thought that yesterday's excitement was warranted. I know that, you know, look, we've talked about this for a year plus now. It was, I guess, it was leaked out last year for the first time, and people were initially excited. Now the fact that the artist rendition is out, you can actually kind of, you have an actual date for this to come out. This is really cool stuff. In fact, if you're going to head out to the Don Haskins Center anytime this weekend to watch some UTEP men's basketball, pay attention to right by the ticket office. If you walk that way, you'll see the construction, you know, fenced off right now, and they're getting ready to do this. I mean, they're ready to launch it. We're talking about just a week and a month away here from the unveiling.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yes, I love it. I mean, it's such a cool thing for the city of El Paso. I'm so happy that people like you helped spearhead this. I mean, you think about it. You and I had off-air discussions, Steve, during the pandemic about this idea. So the fact that this is coming to fruition, it's long overdue, and it's warranted for one of the most iconic persons to ever make an impact here in El Paso.
We kept everything completely under wraps and didn't say much to any of you about any of this stuff. And there's a reason for that, because until all the parties were in place, meaning UTEP was on board, we were able to secure a donor, we were able to talk to the sculptor and he was ready to go, and all the parties then were ready to green light it. You know, there was no reason to really even bring it up because it had been discussed years and years ago. It had never been given the approval. And, you know, it was a reason why a lot of this, some of us have thought this should have been done many, many years ago. And to be honest, truth is this. Don Haskins should have had a statue in front of the Haskins Center when he was still alive. There's just absolutely no reason why almost 15 and a half years since he passed, this is becoming a reality. But that's the way it is. Nothing you can do about the past. You just got to, you know, control what we have right now. And I'm just very happy. I'm happy that You know, a lot of people really were in play on this whole thing. The Longoria family, they did, you know, they're gifting it to the university. Jim Senner and Dr. Heather Wilson, they did what the previous regime wouldn't do. This is not the first time the statue has been brought up to them. This has been brought up many years ago and was shot down. And this time it's not. And that is great news. Brian Kanoff, legendary Hall of Fame sports photographer who's probably shot more Haskins than anybody, had this iconic photo and pose of the bear that they're going to be using for the statue. And he was kind enough to donate that image for his likeness. So, Adrian, there's a lot of people in play, but the most important thing is I know the basketball season has not gone the way that everybody hoped it would have. We all know that. But at least on February 24th, we will see the most, it'll be the most photographed and talked about an iconic landmark in El Paso when the 7-foot statue, bronze statue of the bear, goes up for the first time in front of the Haskins Center.
No doubt about it. I'm just so excited for the city of El Paso for this. I mean, just think about it. The young kids who never got to grow up around this. I mean, forget the young kids. People like me who never got to really experience the Haskins era. You know, anybody who's 28, 29, and any years younger can appreciate the history that this basketball program has brought to the city of El Paso and one of the the mainstays and the legends who help architect a lot of the history. It was Don Haskins himself.
That's
including
right.
Starting 5 black players in the national championship, first time to do it in 1966 to win the title.
You're 100% correct. Everything you just said is exactly right. And, you know, for some of us that had the chance to get to know the bear and develop a relationship, it's personal. It's personal for a lot of people like that. But for you, seeing this statue, really the first of its kind, right there at the university when it goes up next month, that's going to be a very, very big deal for a lot of Miner fans around El Paso.
I think so, and I can already see all the photos being taken in front of it, whether it's selfies, like family photos would be really cool too.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see photos from the Haskins family themselves. So this is going to be a really, really neat day, February 24th coming in.
Line ringing in, 505-6009, 10 past the hour as we get started here on the show. In fact, coming up in a little bit, Jay Jaffe will be back with us, talk baseball and beer on the program, and it's a tradition for him. And then we'll do Jeff Erickson and talk a little NFL playoff action with Jeff and fantasy baseball as well. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff lined up for you here on the program. If you can cue me in on that one, that would be great. Beautiful. Let's go to Domingo. He's going to lead us off here on our show today. Domingo, thanks for the call. What's happening, man? Happy Wednesday.
How you doing, Cappy? How's everybody doing?
Fine, Domingo. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to say this since yesterday, but I didn't have the time. That Cowboys lost, even though everybody already talked about it, but even though it hurt, but I decided to move on.
Good. Good for you. You should move on. Everybody should move on.
Yeah. And I think McCarthy's going to get fired. I think McCarthy will be fired.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are saying that the Cowboys are going to run it back next year with McCarthy and Dak. And I don't necessarily know if they're going to can him. Now, I will say this. There's some very good names on the board right now in terms of older coaches, whether it's Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick. You want to try to get Nick Saban back to the NFL, whatever you want to do. I mean, you know, the problem is they're all in their 70s, but, you know, we're talking legendary coaches that are currently, available right now for the first time.
Well, I know for a fact Belichick wants to coach because he's obsessed with being the Don Shula record, that's for sure.
Well, yep, that's true. That is true.
And in my view, if you're going to ask me who's going to win the Super Bowl, you know my answer. I don't care. Cowboy season is over, so I don't give a damn about any of the 31 losers.
There you go. I like that attitude, Domingo. That's fresh. Appreciate the call, and that's the way it should be. You know, your team's out. The heck with everybody else. I don't care. I mean, just and here's the thing, okay? Enjoy the playoffs, all right? I mean, I know your team is out. I get it. And you don't. And you said it. You said, you know, there's 31 teams. They're losers. I don't care. But at least knowing you don't have a dog in the fight anymore, Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the playoffs. You can do that even if your favorite team is out. I am a Jets fan. My season ended four plays into the 2023 season. Long, long time ago. My season ended in early September. I've enjoyed the NFL season, knowing that I had nothing to get excited about. It's sometimes, Adrian, it's kind of fun when you can just absorb football and not feel like you got a dog in the fight.
Right, and if you're a Cowboys fan especially, because you don't have the Eagles to root for or root against, you don't have your divisional rivals in the postseason to continue. So if you're a Cowboys fan out there, then you have that understanding that, hey, look, your enemies are pretty much out. Now, if you want to call the 49ers enemies, sure. Yeah, then just root against them as the playoffs continue.
There you go. By the way, speaking of the 49ers, here he is, Mr. 49er himself, Orly, who gets into the show. Hey, at least you still have somebody to root for here in mid-January. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thank the Cowboys because that opened up the 49ers. Don't take anybody lightly. I guarantee you they're not going to take Green Bay lightly after what they did to Dallas.
That's true. I think that's pretty fair and accurate. I always,
yeah.
Listen, I always say that historically, there's always a team coming off a bye that's sluggish in the divisional week. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the extra week of rest and they haven't kept playing, but sometimes we do see upsets in the divisional round with the team with the bye. They're not the same coming off of that. I don't necessarily think that's going to be San Francisco. They're a very good team. They've only been exposed on a handful of occasions this regular season, although Baltimore did do that to them at home. But look, the 49ers have been the best team in the NFC for the majority of the season, and now they have a chance to host the next two games and get right back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, I got to meet one of your callers. The guy named, is it Pinky, the one from Socorro?
Oh, yeah, you met Pinky. Jaime.
Yeah, yeah. I met him today at lunch. Yeah, nice guy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, great guy, and he heard my voice, and then someone said, hey, it's Orly, and he said, hey, I got to meet him, so yeah, we got to meet. Very nice gentleman, big-time Socorro fan, and
yes,
great guy. Where
were the two of you guys eating lunch where you happened to run into each other today? Where was that?
It's a place called Jackie's, right there off of Kessler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a Mexican food buffet.
Oh, very nice. It's called Jackie's?
Jackie's, yeah.
All right. Excellent. Adrian, you heard of Jackie's?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Heard good things.
All right. Very good. Happy that you guys liked it.
Hey, real quick. The rumor has it that Aaron Jones is going to be invited for the Ring of Honor in Dallas. They're going to put his name up there.
That was my joke. You stole it off of me.
I
put that on Twitter on Sunday, and you just copied it.
I don't have Twitter.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that is true. But still, I mean, you know,
I just heard it today.
Oh, that's good. I'm always flattered when my jokes are taken a couple of days later. That's good. Who told you that one?
I heard it on the Dan Patrick show.
Ah, all right, very nice.
So he took it from you.
There you go. When we see Dan at Radio Row, I'll mention that to him. Thanks.
Hey, real quick, what was I going to tell you? Yeah, don't get old. You forget things. Anyway, let's go 49ers. And you know all the people that are complaining about why the Cowboys failed? Blame the media. Blame the fans. They buy into this hype every year. Every year is going to be the same thing. They're not relevant. And haven't been in 30 years. So all you Cowboys fans, just get used to never going to get there.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in. I have a scenario that I'm going to throw out your way right after Jaffe comes on, involving the Cowboys and their fans. I am so interested to get your take on this particular scenario. Okay, it's the craziest what if I could come up with, but I got to throw it out there, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Okay, so we'll do that right
Sounds
after
great.
Jay. All right, 17 past Jay Jaffe next, right after Charlie One. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Friend of the show, Jim Ward from At the Drive-In, Sparta, Sleeper Car, Jim Ward solo career. I mean, he's done it all, folks. He's a UTEP super fan. He's actually a pretty good baseball player. I'll tell you that. Playing the same Sandlot team. And looking forward to being out in Austin in April with Jim and our buddies from the Diablitos, getting a chance to play a little Sandlot ball here in about 3-4 months. As you welcome me back to the show. Speaking of ball, speaking of baseball, that is, time to say hello to our good pal. This is Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs, who you can follow on Twitter and X at J_Jaffe. By the way, Fangraphs has it all going on. They're doing their Zips projections right now for teams. They've got a lot of those coming out. Jay's continuing his stories on the Hall of Fame, and we've got hitters getting ranked, starting pitchers, fantasy articles galore from Jeff Zimmerman, Paul Spohr, your pal Dan Zimborski. A lot of good stuff at Fangraphs right now. Man, it's loaded.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, we don't rest during the off season. We got plenty to keep us busy with, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, whether we're just thinking about something that happened during the season or looking towards the next season or putting out our projections or in my case, rounding up the tail end of the Hall of Fame ballot. It's a lot going on. It's a great group.
It's also, I would say this, this is the best free baseball website on the planet, bar none. Now, you take donations. I want to mention that. There's a Fangraph membership where you can subscribe, you can gift a membership, you can donate to Fangraphs. That is part of it as well. You've got mugs, shirts, so there are a lot of cool things. And the membership itself, by the way, is very, very affordable, $10 a month, and you're all set and good to go. And that takes out the ads, gives you some of some more fun on the website. Plus, you've got exports for their roster resource and a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah, the site and the app really run very nicely with the ad free with the membership, and you can do a lot of things like customize it if you like the dark view, mm-hmm. Things like that. It's really cool. It's,
yeah,
definitely worth it.
Yeah, and by the way, ad free is only $60 a year. So there's $10 a month, $60 a year. So a lot of ways to be flexible and do it. And baseball season's practically here with pitchers and catchers reporting in about a month. So Jay, before you know it, we're back. It's baseball season, and a lot of good storylines going on right now, including. It's been a weird week because, for the most part, not a lot of player news, but we're finding stories like today. The Mets deciding to retire Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry's jerseys. And what's ironic about this is that if you would have asked you, me, or any baseball observer and fan in 1986, if Gooden and Strawberry would be on their way to Cooperstown, we would have said, absolutely yes, no doubt about it. And that's how good they were in the mid-80s and how the Mets were. And crazy enough, their careers were sidetracked because of on and off the field incidents. And unfortunately, despite both falling well short of Cooperstown, the Mets taking two of the most popular players from that era and going to be retiring those jerseys.
Yeah, I don't think at 86 I would have said they were absolutely on the way to the Hall of Fame, but they'd certainly gotten some of the big seasons out of the way with the starts to their careers. Both of those guys were off to great starts, but it's interesting. This is one thing that Steve Cohen, one way that Steve Cohen has differentiated himself from the Wilpon family ownership is that doing a better job of recognizing the history of this franchise and the hunger that fans have to recognize those past favorites. I mean, you know, it wasn't too long ago that there were only two numbers retired for the Mets. It was just Casey Stengel and Tom Seaver, and then it took the Coens buying in for them to start the line moving again with number retirements like Piazza and I think Carter and I forget them all, but it really is just a big, you know, I don't know what the Wilpon family's reservations were about about actually having fun. You know, I guess it cost money. They didn't have old timers days either, for, you know, because that would be too fun. So this is a nice gesture by Steve Cohen. And, you know, both Strawberry and Gooden have had their problems off the field, even post-career. But, you know, they are still fairly high visibility. They do have they do keep trying to get themselves right. And, you know, it's good to see them embraced by the team, I think.
So 16-8, and I was going to say 18, but Darryl Strawberry, he was 18 with the Mets, was he not?
I can't remember. I don't have the roster in front of me. I wasn't paying that close attention to the Mets. And for me, you know, as a kid, I knew everybody's uniform number. Now I've got so many more numbers to crowd those out in my head. I'm remembering their jaws rather than their uniform number.
So, yeah, Strawberry was 18. Gooden was 16. They'll do Gooden on April 14th, Strawberry on June the 1st. And by the way, in case you're wondering, here are the full list of Met retired numbers. Willie Mays with his 24. Keith Hernandez, number 17. Jerry Kuzman, number 36. Mike Piazza, number 31. Jackie Robinson, number 42. Of course, Tom Seaver, number 41. Gil Hodges, number 14. And Casey Stengel, number 37. That's the full list.
Yeah, okay, got it. That's a big increase from what it used to be.
Oh, it is. And by the way, I was like you. I was thinking that Gary Carter was on that list too. But crazy enough, you know, sad, we lost Gary years ago due to cancer, and Carter has not, as of now, had his number 8 retired yet by the Mets.
So okay, got it.
Maybe that'll change down the road.
He's one of the actual Hall of Famers from the team. You know, as opposed to some of the other guys we've just named.
You would think that would actually do something, right? You definitely would think. Meanwhile, I'll ask you this, because I saw a story, I guess it was yesterday, talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, you've mentioned this a ton of times, but Ryan Thibodeau has his Hall of Fame tracker. I'm looking at it right now, since we were talking Hall of Fame a moment ago with Met retired jerseys. And it looks like, at least thus far, players that are trending in the right direction. Let's talk about that. Adrian Beltre looks like a clear lock. Todd Helton's case looks pretty good at this point. So does Joe Mauer. You know, not a ton of ballots coming in just yet, but those are the top three. Then you've got guys like Billy Wagner, Gary Sheffield, Andrew Jones, and so on and so forth. But, I mean, when it's all said and done, we've talked about this with you a lot. For this year's class, do you expect it to just be Beltre and potentially Todd Helton, or do you think that there could be others on this list as well?
I think it's not outside the realm of possibility that we get all four of those guys you mentioned. You know, Beltre is a lock. Mauer is looking very good right now because you know, he's got a high percentage there, and he's also getting a lot of those votes from ballots where there's only two or three names on it and that actually that has a higher predictive value because more of the voters who don't publish their ballots include, you know, have like shorter lists of players that they include, which would indicate is more likely, you know, it could be Mauer and Beltre and maybe one other guy or something like that on their ballot. But as it is, you know, even Helton, who's above 80%, has a very good shot right now. To my understanding, the research shows that if you've got 80% going into election day, everybody who's gotten 80% going into election day has gotten in. Has their percentage has held up enough to get to retain at least 75%. And historically, if you look at this was from Nathaniel Rakich of 538. If you look at the past public to final drop-offs. For Helton and Wagner, who've both been on the ballot for a long time, they would have to have their largest drop-off ever to miss right now. Now, the caveat is we're probably still going to get about 50 more ballots next week, and those percentages could come down. But based on the results we have today, historically, it would appear that we could be getting a class of four.
Wow, that'd be great if it happens. But we still have a lot of work to do on this, don't we?
Yes, like I said, there's going to be probably another 50 ballots coming in here, so yeah. Things could definitely change.
All right, more with Jay as we keep things moving. But first, right back to Adrian and this SportsCenter update. Much. We're back with right now Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs.com. We'll get his beer pick of the week in just a little bit. The last big story we had in baseball signings was 5 days ago. Jordan Hicks and the Giants signed a 4-year, $44 million contract. What fascinates me about Hicks is he's been a reliever pretty much his entire career in Major League Baseball, and the Giants are going to try him in the rotation. That is something that really you don't find a lot of 27-year-olds with his experience after all these years going back to the starting rotation, do you?
Yeah, you know, there are guys like this. We've seen this happen, you know, several times in recent years, where a team will shunt a talented pitcher with a big fastball to the bullpen early in his career and give him time to develop a bit at the major league level, and then move to the rotation. Sometimes it works. Adam Wainwright is a great example of this. Was the closer for the 2006 champions, in fact, and then went on to win 200 games mainly as a starter in a long and storied career. But other times it doesn't work, and these pitchers end up kind of stuck in that closer bin forever. The Reds tried this with Aroldis Chapman, if I'm remembering correctly. The Red Sox tried it with Jonathan Papelbon. There are times that it just doesn't take. Change of scenery might be helpful in getting this done, because a new team, you know, wants to get something different out of the guy. But there's a risk involved here. I mean, you know, worst case, he ends up being a top flight closer. That's, you know, that you've at least got a fallback there. But you know, generally the problem, you know, the reason why pitchers get shunted into the bullpen is because they don't have a reliable third pitch, which means they can't really, you know, take a look at a batters can't get or get onto their arsenal after, you know, one or two plate appearances, and so it's harder to pitch deep into games. So it's all going to depend really on how deep Hicks's arsenal is, how good his third pitch is. As to whether he succeeds in this, I think.
Let's talk about some other free agent signings since we last spoke to you. Marcus Stroman going to the Yankees. Do you like this deal?
You know, I think Marcus Stroman is a bit too much work for the trouble. He has been very consistent when he's been able to pitch. He has had a lot of injuries, however, and hasn't quite reached, or has only reached about 140 innings in each of the last two seasons. And he has a knack for kind of creating distractions with his public back and forth. He got into it when he was with the Mets here a couple years ago, and you know, he actually badmouthed Brian Cashman and the Yankees for saying that he wasn't an impact pitcher. So this is kind of funny to see them turning to him now after they've been rebuffed by some of their other free agent choices, including Yoshinobu Yamamoto and finding Blake Snell's price too high and things like that. So the good news is it's a 2-year, $37 million deal. With a vesting, I believe, if he pitches 140 innings in that second year, he gets another year at, I believe, $18 million or $19 million. So, you know, it's not a long-term deal. This could be fine, but based on what we've seen out of Marcus Stroman, it's very possible this blows up in the Yankees' faces and in his face.
The Cubs worked on a trade with the Dodgers. They acquired Michael Busch and reliever Yency Almonte for a couple of teenage prospects. I've heard good things about pitcher Jackson Ferris, so I think you know, the Dodgers will like him in time, and we'll see what happens. He also got an outfielder. But as far as the Cubs and Michael Busch goes, it seems like this could be a classic example of a guy that was blocked in Los Angeles. They'll get a better shot with the Cubs.
Yeah, Busch is a guy who, you know, they believe the prospect analysts believe has a major league ready bat with good power. What he can't do is play defense. The Dodgers have tried him all over the diamond, and you know, second base and third base haven't been the solutions there. I don't know how much they played him in the outfield, but I guess a little bit here looking at the stats. First base, the most logical landing point. They've got Freddie Freeman there for the next several years, so that wasn't going to work. So trading him to a team that can use him as a first baseman, I think, is probably the more logical solution for Bush. And the Dodgers, you know, not only needed to get something for him, they needed to clear a spot on the 40-man roster to accommodate their other transactions. And in this case, getting the younger guys that they did, those guys don't need space on the 40-man roster yet. So you can see why this deal had some appeal to them. They like the pitcher Ferris. Now Ferris can be on the same team as Bueller potentially here.
Oh, that's awesome!
Give us all a day off.
You know what? Now you got to own Ferris and Bueller in a fantasy league, and you could have the ultimate fantasy name. What a dream come true that is!
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Love that. Good job, funny. Jay. Way to think of that. Excellent.
I wasn't the first.
Beer pick of the week. What are we talking about?
Okay, this one I've probably profiled before here. But I was very surprised, pleasantly, to come across it at my local independent grocery store. This is the Rathaus Pilsner Tannenzapfel. This is German beer from the Black Forest area. It comes in at 5%. The bottles are come with a nice gold foil on them, and a little drawing. This is a really old school German Pilsner that I like a lot. Kind of citrusy a little bit, and a little bit of hop bitterness to it. It's a nice little treat.
Excellent, Jay. Always enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again with you right back here next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Jay Jaffe, folks, from Fangraphs, as we continue. It is 41 past the hour. Plenty more coming up right here. Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk, 49 past the hour. So I asked a little tease earlier about a situation involving Cowboy fans and Jerry Jones. All right. This is, to me, the ultimate hypothetical, okay? And let me give you a little background on this, and I'll even let Alberto chime in with this along with Adrian and everybody else. You can get into the show at 505-6009. Now, we all know that Jerry Jones is 82 years old. He's the general manager. He's very involved in player personnel and day-to-day operations, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Ever since 1996, the last Super Bowl, the Dallas Cowboys have failed to get to a championship game, let alone the big one, okay? So the question I want to throw, the hypothetical, which we all know will never happen, is this. But I'm so interested just to get your thoughts on this, okay? And that is, let's just say Jerry Jones is given a rare meeting with a higher power. And during that conversation, Jerry is told this from the higher power. Jerry, I'm going to give you a choice. You can stay general manager the rest of your life with the Dallas Cowboys and never win another Super Bowl ring again. Or step away from the team in terms of just hiring the right people in place, football coach, general manager, that do their thing. You watch the games from the owner's box, but you are not allowed to get involved whatsoever, meaning no press conferences, no radio shows, no general manager duty. You simply watch the game like an owner should. And you want to know something? I will reward you with another Super Bowl championship before you die. If Jerry is given those two scenarios, do you think he takes it and would choose the Super Bowl championship if it meant being completely removed from everything that had to do with a player operation to run the team, or would say, nope, I will stay involved for the remainder of my years, even if I know that means we will never win another Super Bowl as long as I'm alive. What decision do you think Jerry Jones takes if he's given those two options?
As he's on the way out in life, there's no question about it. He's got to go for the Super Bowl, right? Because afterward, he can do a victory lap. He can be in the parade. He can be photographed. He can sign autographs. He can do all those kind of things. And I think as much as he likes to control, I also understand that Jerry Jones is the same guy who wanted Johnny Manziel. He wanted, when the Cowboys came up to pick in that draft, that particular draft, he wanted Johnny Manziel. It's made public. And his brass around him said, no, 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 no. We're getting Zach Martin, man. There's no question about it. Johnny Manziel is not the guy. He's like, no, I want Johnny Manziel. And then they draft Zach Martin, who's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. And look at what happened. I mean, Manziel's not even in the league right now. So I think to relinquish this one and relinquish the power, there's no question about it. He's going for the Super Bowl ring.
I don't know.
As somebody who's the most hands-on micromanaging owner, his ultimate goal is the Super Bowl, and that's
even if it means removing himself.
Yes.
All right. Let's see what Baba Ganoush would have to say. Baba Ganoush, if Jerry Jones was given that option, those two choices, and said the only way you would ever be able to win another Super Bowl for the remainder of your living years is to completely remove yourself from the team and just be an owner, or do exactly what you're doing, and I guarantee you this, you will never win another Super Bowl as long as you're alive. What decision do you think Jerry does?
I mean, I think if he knows that he'll get a Super Bowl, he would obviously do it.
Do you think?
Well, the only reason I think is because you're getting Super Bowl. I think he would do it. Because it's been 26 years of futility and mediocrity, and it's okay. Like, nothing happened.
It's actually 28, but who's counting?
Who the Cowboys are now. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Mediocre franchise. But see, the problem is they make more money than anybody else. I think they're the most lucrative franchise. Real Madrid or one of those big soccer teams, but they're by far like the most marketable team in the world. So he's a businessman and he's still cashing in. And what does it matter? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't think Jerry has it in him to step away, even if he knew the options. Even if he knew that if he removed himself, because think about it. If he removes himself and they win a Super Bowl, then people are going to say, oh, my God, how many more could they have won if Jerry would have done this years ago? And does he really want to have that kind of an ego blow?
Yeah, but, I mean, winning a Super Bowl or winning any championship is so hard.
I know.
Like, think about how many teams really are contenders every year in any sport. Think about how hard that is.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Getting deep into the playoffs, how hard is that to do? And the Cowboys, I really think what happened on Sunday was Dak needed somebody like the defense to hold the dam so they figured it out on offense. The defense completely got shredded. Like, nobody's talking about that. They were getting shredded every play almost. And nobody held the dam for Dak for like a quarter or two to say, hey, dude, just figure it out. Well, we got your back for a quarter or two. And it was like 21-0 in a blink of an eye. And then he starts to panic. He makes a dumb interception like he did all last year. And then it was just over at that point. And,
you're right.
You know,
Baba Ganoush, I know you want to talk UTEP hoops, but I'm out of time, unfortunately, on this one. We got to just keep it for the Cowboys, and maybe we could talk a little UTEP hoops with you tomorrow. So I appreciate the call. We'll come back. Hour two next. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. Alberto Urueta is with us as well, third member of the team. At the end of hour two, I asked you a question. What would Jerry Jones do if he was given two choices, and let's just say his choices were stay in your role for the remainder of your life. Oh, you'll be successful. Not saying you won't be successful. You'll just never win a Super Bowl again, ever, as long as you're doing what you're doing. Or step away, just be an owner, don't have a radio show, don't hold press conferences. Essentially, just own the team like everybody else does in the league. And you know what? You'll win another Super Bowl that way. What decision does he make? Adrian says there's no doubt about it. He'll go for the ring. I'm just saying not so fast. Looking at some of the reactions coming in on Twitter X, Victor Neff, Steve, God doesn't make deals with the devil. Well, there's your answer from Neff Poppy. Enrique, Jerry is as stubborn as Thomas. All respect intended, Jerry would defy the higher power just to be in charge. So there you go, Adrian. That's what some of our listeners are saying on social media, at 600 ESPN El Paso. You can also call into the show, 505-6009. Alberto, what do you think would happen if Jerry was given those two options?
No, I think he'd pick the Super Bowl too, but I know that Jerry Jones wants to be a part of the organization. I think he wants to feel like he's helping the team win the Super Bowl, but he doesn't realize he's hurting them.
Don't you think though that it would absolutely kill Jerry Jones to know that if in fact the only way for them to get another ring was for him to be completely removed 100% from all day-to-day operations within the organization itself in terms of player personnel? Don't you? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if Jerry, I wouldn't know if Jerry would even want a Super Bowl if it means that he has nothing to do with it other than owning the team. He has spent the last 28 years trying to win and show everybody he can do it. And that is, I mean, that is a lifelong mission for the owner of this team. I mean, His investment is worth a fortune. We know that already. Jerry has more money than he will ever dream of for the rest of the generations of the Jones family. We know that too. But with that ego so big, remember, 1993, he said in an interview, anybody could win with Jimmy Johnson's team. That was the quote. Anybody can win with Jimmy's team. And Jimmy said, okay, put your money where your mouth is. I'm leaving. And then Barry Switzer comes around and he wins 2 years later. And that was it. Since then, never had another champion. Never even had a trip to the championship game for that matter. So I don't know, Adrian. I don't think this is as cut and dry as just, yes, he would do it. I think that it would devastate Jerry Jones to just know, and remember, this is not stepping away because of medical issues. This is medical. This is just Jerry Jones stepping away because it would be the only way the Cowboys could win. I don't know if he does it.
I'm not arguing against devastation because I think it would happen, and I'm not arguing how difficult of a situation would be for him because it would be, but I would be arguing that if it is the only option that he's presented by the higher power, he'd say yes, he'd jump because it's a Super Bowl, and at the end of the day, he will be still the owner. It'll say the owner of the Dallas Cowboys is Jerry Jones. He just won't be the face of it, and let's be real. Like, we could talk all we want about Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, Mike McCarthy. He is Jerry Jones is the face of the Dallas Cowboys, the way that he acts as a team owner. And that's how many other owners can you actually say that about sports?
Only one.
Sports,
only,
you know?
One.
And
only
he is,
one.
And he is the only one right there.
You're right. Which is why I don't think he can do it. I just don't think he can do it. Remember, this is not being forced to step down because of any issue that's happening off the field. This is just saying, hey, your choice is spend the remaining years of your life trying to get back but knowing you never will, or step away and you'll be rewarded at some point with a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I think it's just the history. The history is there to back against this, like that his decisions aren't right. Like, look, here, I'll give you a perfect one. He kept Jason Garrett in for 9 years. Jason Garrett, what, made it past the divisional round never? He made it past the Super Wild Card round once or twice. Is that it? And then he kept him for 9 seasons. He was so loyal to Jason Garrett. And it's probably because Garrett was the guy who gave Jerry Jones a green light to have all the meddling he wanted on the team.
Now, listen, when you look at this team year by year, since the days of Jimmy, okay, let's just analyze this for a second. Because I think that's important. Sometimes we need a history lesson. Okay. When Jimmy stepped down after 93, starting in 94, Barry Switzer spent 4 years, and he inherited a dynasty. And during that dynasty that he inherited, lost a conference championship, won a Super Bowl, lost a divisional divisional game, and then didn't even make the playoffs. They were 6-10 in 1997. Okay, so that was the end. That was the end of the dynasty. We all know it was coming to an end. So that was Barry Switzer. Here is Chan Gailey, 2 years of coaching. Chan Gailey lost both wild cards in those 2 years, 10-6, 8-8. Then came Dave Campo, 3 seasons for Big Dave, 5-11 all 3 years. That takes us to the tuna. Bill Parcells. Parcells from 2003 to 2006, 2 wild card losses in 4 seasons. Best year he ever had was 10-6. 1 10-win season, 2 9-win seasons, okay? 4 years. That's what Parcells did. Then, perhaps the most successful of the group, Wade Phillips. People are going to say, Wade Phillips? Oh, yeah, Wade Phillips. 3 seasons for Wade, or 3-plus, because he was fired in the middle of the 4th season. And in those 3-plus seasons, 2 divisional title losses, and a 13-3 season and an 11-5 season for Wade. Very successful. Then comes Jason Garrett's 9-plus seasons. That featured 3 divisional playoff losses, okay? Not wild card losses. Divisional playoff losses, where they won 12, 13, and 10 games, and they lost in the divisional round each of those 3 years. Then Mike McCarthy, 4 years, you have 2 wild card losses and a divisional round loss. And that's where we are right now. That's where we are since the last Super Bowl title in 1996 for the Dallas Cowboys. And Barry Switzer, who won that title with Aikman, Smith, Irvin in 96.
I would say another thing to examine when we're doing history lessons is decisions that Jerry Jones has, championed on his own and how successful or unsuccessful they've been. And I think when you look at his own risks that he took with the Cowboys, most of those start in the early 2000s. Like, you look at the past 10 years, they've actually been pretty conservative. They don't sign free agents. They acquire most of their talent through the draft. They acquire most of their coaches through relationships that Jerry Jones has had through the past. So what I would say is, if you look back to like 2000, they drafted Joey Galloway. What a bust that was. I mean, what a terrible draft pick that ended up being. You think about somebody else in you know, how much they ended up trading for a wide receiver like Roy Williams in 2008. That was also something crazy. He traded a 1st, 3rd, and a 6th round pick for Roy Williams in 2008. So I would look at those two decisions. Those were in like the 2000s, from 2000 to 2008 right now. That's when he had ultra control over his player personnel. So once he relinquished the direction on player personnel and he gave that to Will Clay. Now, let me say this. Will McClay has a lot of the draft scout choices. Steven Jones helps out with that as well, as long with extension conversations. And Jerry Jones throws his own thoughts in that, in those discussions that go on behind closed doors. So what I'm saying is, now at least he's put together a team around him who helps him make these decisions, so they're not as reckless as they were back in the 2000s.
He's still involved, and they still haven't won. So
no, I agree. No, I'm not disagreeing. I agree with that.
Chad Middleton weighed in. He texted into the show. Jerry Jones would not take the Super Bowl. No way. He's too big of a narcissist. That comes from Chad. This comes from Super Minor Minor, who texted into the show. As a partial owner of the team that utterly spanked the Cowboys last weekend, I say may Jerry Jones live to be 126 years old and keep running the Cowboys into the ground. Hashtag go Paco. So there's a couple of text responses into the show right now. So I'm very interested to see how this would go when it's all said and done. I really am. 505-6009, get your thoughts on this too. What do you think Jerry would do? I'm going to ask Jeff Erickson this question. See what Jeff would have to say from our team at rotowire.com. I would tend to think he will agree with you and say Jerry takes it, but I don't see it, man. I just don't. I really don't. So some people say, oh, yeah, take the Super Bowl. Really? And you're telling me just because remember, it's not just winning a Super Bowl, but then it's ultimately realizing that the only chance your team has to really win a Super Bowl is to step away. And I don't know if he could do that, because if Jerry's going to step away, he might just want to sell the team. Because would Jerry even want to keep owning the team if he can't even be involved? I say no. Not at all.
Yeah, maybe not. If like his ego's, his narcissism is as high as everybody thinks, and maybe not, you know? And I guess if you really wanted to be cynical, he's 81 years old, you know? If he says no to the higher power, still want to own the team, maybe he sees the higher power again not too far from now.
That's right. Maybe he feels he can buy the higher power. All right. When we come back, Jeff Erickson will join us. 16 past as we head over to Charlie 1. Let's get this traffic update. Past as we continue here on Sports Talk. Still to come, Brian Regan tickets. He's going to be performing out at the Plaza Theater later this month. If you want to see Brian, listen in on how you could win those tickets. So we say hello right now to Jeff Erickson from our team at rotowire.com, your one-stop shop for all fantasy sports. Jeff, happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm doing well. Really getting starting to get I've got my first slow draft for baseball going on right now, so getting those fancy baseball juices flowing.
Excellent. Excellent. Still kind of weird, isn't it? Because there's some major free agents that still haven't signed.
Yeah, absolutely. Blake Snell jumping right off the page. Cody Bellinger. Mm-hmm. Waiting to see those last big ones go. I thought the dominoes would have fallen by now.
I think a lot of us did, that's for sure. But it hasn't yet, and we'll have to just wait and see when everybody ends up. All right, listen, we've got a very interesting scenario that I brought up a little while ago, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Okay, so we are going to play a complete hypothetical situation that will never happen, but it's fun to think about. So okay. picture this for a second, okay? Jerry Jones is having a dream one night, and in the dream he meets a higher power. And the higher power tells Jerry, listen, I know you've been at this now for almost 30 years since Jimmy left, and you haven't been to a Super Bowl since that that season with Switzer. And I got to tell you, it's never going to happen as long as you are handling day-to-day operations with the Cowboys. So I'm going to give you two choices, Jerry. You can continue through the rest of your life to run the Cowboys the way you have and never win a Super Bowl, or remove yourself from everything with the Cowboys, and that means no press conferences, no radio shows, no nothing, just own the team like everybody else and never go back, and in your lifetime you will have a chance to have another Super Bowl ring to add to your collection. If Jerry was given these two choices, knowing Jerry Jones, what do you think he does?
I don't think there's any question. There's no way he's going to relinquish all control and not do press, especially the press conferences, things of that nature. I mean, I've seen too many incidents there where I can't imagine him giving those up. I mean, when he's the one talking about injury reports every week, I mean, my goodness.
Exactly.
That's just the biggest indicator that he just loves, consuming all the oxygen in the room.
I said to Adrian, because Adrian and I differed, I said there is no way he'll take that deal. Adrian said, "Give him the, he'll take the Super Bowl." I said, I said Jerry would rather sell the team and then own it and know that he would win a ring with nothing to do directly with that team's success. It would drive him crazy. It probably would kill him.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though. It's like all you have to do is point to George Steinbrenner being away from the team for a while and how that started the Yankees dynasty.
Yep.
You know, it's just that because he wasn't allowed to force the trades of prospects. You know, he had to step away from the team for 2 years, and all of a sudden that golden generation came in.
Exactly. Steinbrenner learned. I don't think Jerry could. So, Jeff, I'm very proud of you. I'm happy you took that stance because I totally agree with you. I just don't think, as a former partner of mine on Sports Talk put it when he texted into the show, he said, Jerry is too much of a narcissist to take that deal.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's true.
All right. By the way, speaking of the postseason, where we are with the NFL, we had about 5 clunkers and 1 great game. And here we are going into the divisional rounds. And I guess, obviously, the biggest shock, the Cowboys are out. But the Eagles were in a tailspin for quite a while. And they just, you know, solidified their doom by not showing really much life at all in that second half against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't think, as my co-host Nick Whalen said on our show, the shock isn't that the Eagles lost. It's how they lost. That they were just not competitive. And the fact that they got blown out and, you know, really were exposed yet again. I mean, I think that's the shocking aspect of it there.
Jeff, I want to put you on the spot and ask you to predict for us a little bit. Who is the Panthers coach next year? Who is the Falcons coach next year? And who do you think is the Commanders coach next year?
Oh, I don't even know, Adrian. We're at the, we interviewed Coach Candidate X stage right now. And we still don't know if the Cowboys are going to stick with Mike McCarthy, you know, for that matter, too. Or if the Eagles do anything drastic. I think Harbaugh ends with the Chargers. I know you didn't even ask about the Chargers.
No, but that's a good one. I think it's still early in the process. That's kind of what you're hinting at.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, some of the top candidates are still coaching right now, like Johnson with the Lions, for instance. You know, we'll see. He's going to get opportunities to interview somewhere there. We'll see about whether, like, the Texans offensive coordinator gets involved in the interview process there. You never know. But I tend to think that, you know, teams like to pluck away these assistants from top-performing teams every year. So I think we'll kind of wait and see that one out a little bit still.
If you had to pick a landing spot for Bill Belichick, either an NFL team or his couch in 2024, what is it?
Broadcast booth. Couch or broadcast booth.
God, could you imagine, though, with his personality, I can't even fathom what he would be like in the broadcast booth.
Actually, probably studio would be better for him.
Studio, I think, would be fun because then his personality could show a little bit coming, playing off a few guys. But I just, broadcast booth could be painful. That could be tough to watch.
Yeah, actually, I agree. I was just thinking media generally, but I think, studio job would be better for him.
You don't think Arthur Blank hires him to run the four of the Falcons?
I think there'll be an offer there. I don't know. I think it's possible. I mean, I think if they had a quarterback, it'd be a little bit different. I think he's going to, if he does go back into coaching, he's not going to step into a situation where they have to groom a young quarterback. I think it's going to be, it's got to be a team where there's some maturity at that position, not after what happened in the recent spell with the Pats.
I'm with you on that one. But you said it best. The Cowboys and Eagles still have a coaching decision to make. Do you think, if you had to guess, does Sirianni and McCarthy stay or go when it's all said and done?
I mean, I'd stay with Sirianni. I think McCarthy's a little bit different because we've seen him also with this act in Green Bay as well. I mean, the fact is his teams win, but he's also been on, you know, he's had a lot of stability. He's never really had to break in a young quarterback either. I don't know. Jerry might remain loyal to McCarthy. I haven't heard really a whole lot of rumblings there, and I think you're closer to the situation than I am. But I think it'd be foolish to, unless there's like some, you know, I'm not in that locker room. I'm not dealing with the seeing the interpersonal relationships. Unless there's a problem there with Sirianni, just looking at the mere results, I think you got to give him a little bit of a write-off for the way this season ended.
Okay. By the way, Dak Prescott had a great season, but it also comes to an end with a bad playoff performance. You can see the 60 passes, but the pick six and the other interception really killed him in the second quarter of that game, the loss to the Packers. Is Dak Prescott essentially just the second coming of Tony Romo when you really look at those performances?
It's not a bad comp, really. And most teams would kill to have a Tony Romo career at their quarterback spot. Look at all the instability in the NFL this year at quarterback. I mean, Dallas didn't have to worry about that. We had so many different starting quarterbacks this year. And granted, a lot of those were due to injury. But there's a lot, like, you know, you think New England would have taken a Dak Prescott season? In a minute, they would have. Atlanta, same thing. And all these teams that declined to pursue Lamar, I mean, I still think that that's, I understand Baltimore would had the right to match. They would have had to work out some sort of deal. But the fact that they not only did they not get him, but they didn't even like they outwardly declared we're not trying.
Yep.
That's to me it's eye opening. It's like if you can't mess up that position. So I would take the Dak season 9 times out of 10.
Meanwhile, Aaron Jones, I think, was plus 1,800 to score 3 touchdowns in a game. He did that over the weekend against Dallas. All it does is go to show you that when you actually give him the ball inside the red zone, good things happen. It probably would drive fantasy owners crazy because they look at Aaron Jones as a washed-up bust, but in truth, you know, this game here, he was the focal point because Dylan was injured. They knew they needed him. They gave him the ball, and he does what he always does. He delivers.
Yeah. If you had him on a fantasy team this year, you're looking wistfully thinking what might have been, too. I got to say, Dylan being hurt forced the Packers to do the right thing in the goal line. And instead of, like, the default, hey, we got a big guy, let's just plow ahead with him sort of mindset there. They go with the better back who actually has better vision. And I think this dates back to like Freeman McNeil and Barry Sanders having, you know, big fullback types steal their goal line carries all the time. Sometimes that worked for those respective teams. It hasn't really worked with the case of A.J. Dillon.
Who's your favorite playoff play this week in fantasy?
I would say the receiving options in the Detroit-Tampa game. I mean, my favorite play that I've seen out there on Prize Picks is 62.5 receiving yards from Mike Evans. I'm taking the more on that one there. I think the Lions, for all their positives, are a pass funnel. Their DBs are still very attackable, and I think Evans, who's pretty quiet on Monday night, will not be quiet in this game.
Jeff, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how CeeDee Lamb had played his way into next year's possible top 5, maybe top 10 fantasy rankings, especially on the receiving side, but maybe overall. Where do you throw Puka Nacua if you had to do a way, way, way too early ranking for next year? Is he already kind of approaching that top 10 for receivers right now, or what do you think?
I'm glad you asked that, Adrian, because we discussed that in the last couple of nights a little bit, where he's going to go in 24 drafts. I say end of the first round, like pick somewhere between 10 to 12 range overall, not just among receivers, but overall. I think he's easily a top 10 receiver. He's the focal point now of this Rams passing offense. He has surpassed Cooper Kupp, in my opinion. Now, give a full offseason of health for Kupp, and we'll see. Kupp had multiple injuries this season, but I also think that Kupp's of that age where those sort of things might still recur. So Nacua, I mean, he's in that circle of trust now. And a healthy Stafford, Sean McVay drawing up the plays for him, I mean, you want that. You want the primary receiver in a Sean McVay offense. So I think he's an end-of-the-first-round sort of talent. We'll see. I certainly behind Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, probably behind A.J. Brown. I don't like the way the season ended for him. Behind Tyreek Hill, for sure. Behind McCaffrey, and then after that you can start talking. Then I think there's a lot of variance in the equation there. I think Gibbs probably goes in the first round next year. There's a couple of other backs, but I think for the most part you're going to see another wide receiver heavy first round where you see like 7 to 9 receivers go in the first round.
All right. We'll get a quick bottom of the hour Sports Center with Adrian. We'll come right back. We'll do a little baseball. We'll shift it up with Jeff, 600 ESPN El Paso. Spec lists come out in the last few days. You've actually, your team has not the top 100, you have the top 400. That's really what your prospect town, James Anderson's been about on the website. It gets updated from time to time, but you go much deeper than a lot of these top 100 lists. But that's always a sign that tells me that spring training is coming close.
Absolutely, Steve, and thanks for promoting that. James does great work. We love everything that he does in terms of the prospects. He's also been doing baseball podcasts all off season long, and I love seeing that too. That he's constantly out there updating content, keeping an eye on the ball and all that. And yeah, the prospect rankings always sure to draw a lot of commentary, a lot of discussion there, and you know. James has had a really good track record in the past. So, you know, it's you get all the results from winter ball, from the Arizona Fall League, just more time to contemplate what players did in the offseason, what happens as a result of trades, all that.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the RotoWire Roundtable Baseball Top 300 January update. There's four people involved, you, Eric Halterman, Clay Link, and Todd Zola. And you rank your top 300, and then you put together the list, and we get the full 300 when you factor in all of you. And the thing I love about this list is a lot of, you know, between the four of you, you're different in a lot of ways. Some players, you're as much as 20 to 40 spots either higher or lower than your counterparts.
Yep, absolutely. And the deeper you go into that list, the wider the error bar, or not even error, but the wider the variance, right? You know, because, yeah. Hey, let's face it, we're going to, you know, these are the guys that we're less convinced about. And so you'll start to see that as a trend going on there. So, yeah, absolutely, you'll see a lot of variance there. Like Blake Snell, for instance, we've got almost, you know, Blake Snell is probably the biggest gap for a guy that's a premium guy. Where, you know, if you look at his, you know, average draft position, he's often going like top 50 in a lot of drafts, top 60 at best or at worst. But our range is anywhere from 41 to 133. So we have a pretty wide range there. 133, obviously, making a statement that he will not be drafting. And that's Todd Zola, my colleague there. I'm next lowest at 76 on him. I want to see where he lands before I get too excited, keeping in mind that he is in one of the best pitching parks in baseball in Petco.
Speaking of you and Zola, we could talk about Jake Fraley, Reds outfielder. You've got him ranked 195. Zola has him ranked 432. That is a variance of more than 240 spots when you start to look at it. So that's really where it also gets kind of interesting is I don't know how deep the four of you go when you really start to rank everybody, but, you know, Todd's got guys in the 400s that everybody else has in the twos.
Yeah, Tom might be right on this one here. If you look at Roster Resource on Fangraphs, they project Fraley not to start. I kind of disagree with that. I think he will be starting, at least against right-handers most of the time. But he got hurt at the second half of the season last year, and I could see it. It's just hard to fathom, though. I mean, he was a guy that was a trendy guy last year, and all of a sudden now the Reds are crowded outfield situation, or just crowded hitting situation, that he might be missing more time. And I'm probably too high at 195. I'm probably in our February rankings, I'll probably have him a little bit lower.
Meanwhile, some of the biggest gainers are guys like Yamamoto, who jumped up 9 spots. Chris Sale went up almost 40 spots. Ryan Pepio went up a large amount. Shota Imanaga went up. And you even look at Jung-Hoo Lee, who was unranked, and now he's in the top 260. So that is kind of interesting to see how some of those guys who were involved in offseason movement found themselves jumping up.
Yeah, absolutely. And all these guys had recent transactions. Pepio, I mean, he goes from one good organization to another. So I just think his role is more secure in Tampa than it was with L.A. But nonetheless, I like what I saw from him down the stretch last year. Hopefully he can continue, especially in terms of his control.
Absolutely right. As far as baseball players go, you mentioned you've got drafts going on right now, a slow draft, and it's starting to get busier for you. What can you talk about as far as the website to really get everybody ready to go for their baseball season?
So So our draft kit is live on the site right now, and that includes our projections, rankings, dollar values, you name it. Constantly tweaking them, constantly updating them, that you can get a head start. If you're in an early draft, we've got the resources there for you. RotoWire.com/free gets you free, a peek behind the paywall. We also have an app that's been live for about a month now, and we also constantly update those rankings as well. If you're on an Apple product at all, you can get the app there, and it's all good to go.
And as far as the app goes, just search RotoWire, correct?
Absolutely, and you can see our apps in multiple sports. Even I have a news app, you name it. We got you covered there.
Man, you do. You've got the RotoWire Fantasy News. You've got the Fantasy Baseball Draft. You've got the Football Draft. It's interesting, and I should mention this, because some of the RotoWire drafts are paid apps. Some of the apps, like the news app, is free. So for the $8 you'll pay for the Fantasy Baseball Draft Kit 24, let's talk about the things you'll be getting on that.
So, that's going to get you, like, every sort of ranking, depth chart, all our latest news as far as that goes. You get that packaged in there. You're going to get a lot of dollar values, different ways to parse it there to help you win your drafts. Obviously, we got a lot more, and that kind of focuses on the baseball side of things for you there.
It does. And by the way, the nice thing about that is, if you want to just have it at the touch of a button, there you go. And you'll have it, and you can keep it for the next couple of months, and it'll get you all the way through the fantasy start of the fantasy season.
Indeed. And we can't wait for pitchers and catchers to report, although I'm thoroughly enjoying the playoffs right now, enjoying, basketball, big trade today for my Pacers, so excited about that. A lot of good stuff going on.
We're excited for you if you're a Pacers fan getting Pascal Siakam. We saw him here at New Mexico State and have followed him very closely. I actually texted Ryan Carr, who's their director of scouting, former UTEP assistant basketball coach, congratulated him on the trade. I know it was a steep price with the three number ones, but I like that for the Pacers. They took a shot.
Yeah, and keep in mind, they don't get free agents to come their way. They have to trade to land that player. And in my lifetime, they've made maybe three go-for-it trades ever, especially of this size. So I'm thrilled about that. And if they're a good team, those picks are going to be mid to late first-round picks anyhow. So I kind of look at it as, like, were they going to get a difference maker in the draft? No. I want to see a team go for it. Flags fly forever. I mean, we see it in all sports. Teams get rewarded for trying to go for it there. Just look at the Rams. Everyone says, oh, they mortgaged their future. Oh, yeah, they mortgaged 1 year, and they're back in the playoffs this year and almost won a playoff game. And their future looks bright again all of a sudden. So, happy to see them go for it.
Well put, as always. All right, Jeff, we'll talk to you again right back here next week. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Jeff Erickson, RotoWire.com, with our weekly conversation. Come back with more. We'll wrap up hour number two and head to our third and final hour, plus your chance to win Brian Regan concert tickets. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. On Sports Talk as we continue, Adam Schefter, a little while ago, tweeting out that Dallas will not be making a head coaching change. And Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy is returning for the 2024 season, per sources. I'll ask Cowboys fans, are you happy? Let's put a poll question up at 600 ESPN El Paso. And that is, did Jerry Jones make the right call by bringing Mike McCarthy back for the 2024 season? Interested to see where Cowboy fans would go on this, because I conducted an informal Twitter poll a couple of days ago, Adrian, and I asked where will be the landing spot for Bill Belichick, and I used four teams: Cowboys, Eagles, Falcons, Commanders. My apologies to you Panthers fans, but you only have four spots. I had 205 votes coming in, and Adrian, it was close. But 41% of the vote believed Bill Belichick would be head coach of the Cowboys next season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised with that. I thought that that was the momentum going into the weekend. I think that, you know, the brass met with each other. They were probably discussing new changes, and I have no clue what ended up happening for the behind the scenes for the Cowboys to land on this one. Bringing back McCarthy for another season, very, very, very talented roster out in Super Bowl Wild Card weekend. I'm shocked that this is the case. I'm shocked that we're talking about this today. I know exactly how Cowboy fans are going to feel. It's going to be a landslide on this one.
You think they're just going to be upset that McCarthy's coming back?
Yeah. I think that any news is going to be bad news. It's just going to add gasoline to the fire that is this ending of a season to the Dallas Cowboys.
Where do you think 34%, where do you think they chose Belichick's landing spot between the Eagles, Falcons, and Commanders? 34%.
Eagles.
Falcons.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
14% went Commanders. Only 11% said Philadelphia Eagles.
Nice. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder where. I mean, Belichick, in my opinion, is going to land somewhere. He's going to want to coach. I disagree with what Jeff Erickson had to say as far as him joining the television broadcast studios, like a show or something like that. Although that would be cool. I would love to get it. I would love to hear his insight. I think that would be really cool.
Well, that's what, according to Pinky, he thinks he's going to be on his couch. So we'll see. But that's the story. And by the way, apparently the Eagles are already interviewing coordinators. So it looks like Sirianni's coming back next year as well.
You know, that one I'm a little bit more okay with, knowing that, hey, he lost his two main guys. Shane Steichen, he's going to be one of the candidates for Coach of the Year, and what he was able to do with Indianapolis, knowing they lost their quarterback in Anthony Richardson. They were running with a backup the entire year in Gardner Minshew, and they still had a chance to make the postseason playoffs. And, you know, on the flip side, Jonathan Gannon, his defensive coordinator from the Super Bowl run with the Eagles, Gannon goes over to the Cardinals, looked terrible to start off and then closed out the year in promising fashion. Looks like they're going to bring back Kyler Murray and they want to run it back with him. So yeah, I mean, two of the Sirianni disciples left his coaching staff last year, and I think that had a lot to do with how they finished off the year.
I think so too. I do. All right, we'll talk more about this in our final hour of the show. Meanwhile, as we mentioned, Brian Regan coming to the Plaza Theater on January 23rd at 7:30 p.m. We do have some tickets remaining on sale through Ticketmaster and the Plaza Theater box office. He is one of the premier comedians in the country. And, of course, had to do a little sports with comedian Brian Regan today here on Sports Talk.
I always love whenever there's a best of seven series, because then I get to hear my favorite sports reporter question. Would you consider this a must-win game? You know, they always feel like they have to say yes. Yeah, we want to win it. It's very important, you know. Got our uniforms on anyway, might as well try. But it's not always the right answer, man. It's a math question. I wish I would answer that question honestly. It's a best of seven. You're down one game to nothing. Would you consider this a must-win game? No. No, we can lose tonight. We can lose tomorrow night, too. We don't want to, but that wasn't your question. You asked if it was a must-win game, and if you'd ever taken a rudimentary math class, you'd already know the magic number's three. When you're down three, then you must win them or you're out.
Once again, Brian Regan performing at the Plaza Theater. That's going to be coming up on January the 23rd, 7:30 p.m. You want to go? We'll give you a chance right now. Caller 5 wins the tickets. That's right. Caller 5, 505-6009. That's 915. 505-6009. Caller 5, you're going to see Brian Regan. As we continue here on Sports Talk. So here is Jerry Jones' quote moments ago. I believe this team is very close and capable of achieving our ultimate goals, and the best step forward for us will be with Mike McCarthy as our head coach. There is great benefit to continuing the team's progress under Mike's leadership as our head coach. Specifically, there are many layers of success that have occurred this season as a result of Mike's approach to leading the team, both with individual players and with our team collectively. Mike has the highest regular season winning percentage of any head coach in Cowboys history. And we will dedicate ourselves in partnership with him to translating into reaching our postseason goals. To translating that into reaching our postseason goals. Certainly, Mike's career has demonstrated postseason success at a high level, and we have great confidence that can continue. Further, our loss on Sunday is shared by everyone here, not just Coach McCarthy. Our players, our coaches, our front office, myself. There is accountability for our results. I am accountable for our results. The lens we use to view and evaluate Coach McCarthy is holistic. While we're all disappointed with the result on Sunday and with our playoff record, I am 100% supportive of him as our head coach and ability to reach our goals. We will start our process of review and decision-making regarding everything that impacts our team and roster. And while we're not going to address specific players and extensions or free agents at this point, it deserves our deepest review and consideration, and it will get it. End quote. Jerry Jones.
Well, he already came up with the excuse there with the winning percentage. So there you go. We already debunked that in the previous segment, Steve. So we got ahead of it, actually. So the statement here is, I guess, not surprising knowing that he's obviously coming back. He had to defend things like the record, the playoff record. He had to throw that into the mix as well. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just waiting for the Cowboys PR to try to spin this positively because there's not a lot. You can't convince me otherwise, Steve. I'm going to give you the list of free agents real quick. Okay?
I want to hear it.
Tony Pollard, Stephon Gilmore, Dorrance Armstrong, Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz, Jayron Kearse, and Jordan Lewis. Those are probably the relevant names who will be free agents. Then you got guys like Dante Fowler, Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Hankins, CJ Goodwin, so on and so forth. The guys who are kind of your twos, not necessarily your ones, like those that I mentioned initially.
That's still there's a decent that's a decent list.
Right. Really yeah. Is. Yeah. You look. I mean, what an impact Stephon Gilmore made on the team.
Huge, huge. This comes from Callaway 007. I am canceling my season tickets for the Cowboys, Adrian and Steve. Done with the mediocrity. Why waste my money on upcoming disappointment? This comes from Callaway 007. I didn't even know Callaway 007 had Cowboys season tickets.
Man, flex on him.
Yes.
He might be David Garman. Hopefully not, though.
Maybe that's his. Maybe that is his burner account.
I hope not, because we need some more 915 tours. We need Callaway out there in AT&T Stadium, too.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right, let's go to Johnny. He joins us next. 28 past. The Sports Talk continue. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I heard a caller yesterday. I can't call too much because I work, you know, in the afternoon,
sure.
7 tonight. But he was talking about Trey Lance. I heard, if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard his name, Trey Lance, coming and being one of the Cowboys. He is the one, of course, with the Cowboys, but being, like, the quarterback. And I'm, like, thinking, I'm a 49er fan. I pulled for Lance for the 3 years. I saw him play 3 times live, okay? 1 game, he actually played decent, but he just doesn't have it. When he got traded, I don't know if you know this, Steve.
What's that?
Nobody wanted him. The only team that wanted him was the Cowboys. Nobody would give him a 7th, 6th, and finally one team, the Cowboys gave him a 4th round.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have it. He's not a good quarterback. He's not, Steve. Let's be honest. It hurt me in a way when he was gone because a lot of people were pulling for him. But you started seeing his progression just going down and down. He was a backup to Darnold.
I know.
They were saying even Allen was playing better than him. He doesn't have it, Steve. When you don't have it, you got to let go. You got to let go of the guy. You have to. You can't be paying this guy. This coming year, he's going to get paid 3 times as much. That's why the Niners let him go, because they knew he was not going to be their future. Purdy is. That's why the Niners let Garoppolo go. I like Garoppolo a lot. I really do, but he's always hurt. great player, always hurt. The Niners, $26 million for a backup. That's what he was getting. You got to let him go. There's no need for a $26 million quarterback to be a third stringer. It's not going to happen, Steve. And then just to let you know, Steve, I'm very impressed with that quarterback Love. I saw the game yesterday again, just kind of a little bit here. That guy runs to the side, runs to the left. He's like, when you see him, he's calm, very calm. You don't see that a lot of a young guy like that. What is he, 20, 25, 20, something like that? But this guy is going to be good. Green Bay is going to be a tough team in the future. You watch those guys, very young. I think they have the youngest receivers.
Now, the youngest team, they have the youngest. They're 20. Their average age is 25. They're young. The whole team is young.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So the Niners are going to have problems with them Saturday. But this is my prediction, Steve. I just think the Niners will not let him have that time. They're going to put somebody there where Love is right in the middle, like what he was doing, going to the right. Yeah. Maybe Warner. Warner's a beast. Warner, Greenlaw. They're going to do something there where they're kind of, you know. Well, he doesn't have all that time because if you see the game, he had time to throw. That line gave him time. I've been watching football for a long time, Steve, okay? And I saw what I saw. I was like, wow, he had a lot of time to throw the ball.
He did.
I respect Aaron Jones. I love that guy. That guy is 9-5. But I'm going to tell you right now, Steve, he never does good with the 49ers. Look at his stats.
No, you're right.
All the games.
He's gotten hurt against them, and he's fumbled against them.
Exactly.
So really, this would be a huge statement if he could show up and have a big game against San Francisco. That'd be a big deal.
Yeah, but he's a great player. But for some reason, the Niners, they held him. Really
they have his
good.
Number. They have his number. There's no doubt.
They got his number. But I just wanted to say that, Steve. I just think I have a lot of respect for Green Bay, what they did. They went in there in their home, and they beat them pretty bad. They could have. I started laughing when they took out Love and they took out Jones. They could have scored two more touchdowns.
I know. They couldn't be stopped. You know? It's true. Johnny, great job, man. Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in today. I've got two more calls to get to. Patrick and Fernie. We'll do that right after. Adrian, standing by. We'll do a quick Sports Center update here at the bottom of the hour and then get right back to more in a moment. By the way, Adrian coming up also with an update on tomorrow's live broadcast from the district. We'll be back on the road getting you ready for a little UTEP hoops. He's got that information coming up now. Now Patrick's going to follow up that call from Johnny. Hey, Patrick, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, not much. Hey, the dysfunctional insanity continues. It is what it is. Us Cowboy fans, we walk over the cliff every year, and we get up and we start the process all over again, and it's just going to continue when you got an owner that will have 30 microphones around him and he's the one answering instead of the head man being accountable. But it works two ways. The owner. In any normal situation, the owner hands the keys to the head coach and says, I need to get this done. And if it doesn't get done, then his butt's out of there. But, you know, with our dysfunctional organization, by the way, us and Raiders fans, we do need to start a support group. Because this is too much. But the only way that I will give us any ounce of hope is if there is a commitment. There's a commitment to run the ball, and I'm talking about to get the pieces. I think our O-line is overrated. I think we're an average O-line to run the ball. If we commit to do that, and if we commit to stop the run, I think Dan Quinn, if he's smart, he gets out of there. He needs to realize that this organization will take him over the cliff as well. He needs to take a head job for his sake. And we need to have a commitment to stop the run, and we need to have a commitment to run the ball. That's our only hope. Hey, have a great day, guys, and I thank you for being my counselor right now.
Appreciate that, Patrick. Thanks for the call, and anything we can do to try to help you out. That's really what it's all about. Well, Cowboy fans are sounding off right now with their wish list of what they'd like to see. As far as Dan Quinn goes, I mean, the interesting thing is going to be, did the loss to the Packers hurt his head coaching chances? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Good point. I mean, look, Seattle looks like they want him. They want him badly, as you know, to interview at least. Dan Quinn I'm talking about. And I think for Quinn, it's more about the continued success, the fact that he's done it before as a head coach, mm-hmm. fact that he's even reached a Super Bowl you know, here before as a head coach in 2016 with the Falcons. I guess the one thing you'd point out in that year is that's the infamous, what, 28-3 come-from-behind victory by Tom Brady and company. Yeah. And by the way, Pro Football Network did their top 10 rankings of offensive line. Dallas was not in the top five. They're number six, actually. So outside looking in, I would say good, not great. But yeah, that's, I guess, how you would evaluate it. To his point, let me give you one other quick nugget, Steve.
Please.
Dak Prescott has a 3-day trade window, okay? And it starts on March 13th. If he is traded before March 17th, his $34 million roster bonus will not kick in with Dallas. So they can save $34 million by trading him in a 3-day window. It starts on March 13th and it can exceed March 17th. So that's, of course, it goes from the 16th or 13th through the 16th.
Does that mean that whoever acquires him will only have to pay him, what, $25 million?
That's a good question. So that's something that I'm not sure of, and I wonder if that kicks in automatically or if so I think teams would get creative if they wanted to trade for Dak Prescott. That's the bottom line. But then you'd have to ask the question, which teams out there would actually want to acquire Dak Prescott if you'd have to pay him more than $50 million a year?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that salary works for 2024.
Well, I'll tell you this too, right? There's a lot of teams out there who'd want to get rid of their current quarterback. So can I throw out a scenario at you? Could the Denver Broncos send a fourth round pick and Russell Wilson for Dak Prescott? Could you see that happening and kind of, hey, problem for problem, let's flip quarterbacks?
I don't think
who hangs up first?
I'd rather keep Dak for another year than Russell Wilson right now.
100% agree with that. Let me throw another one to you super quick. Kenny Pickett and a first round draft pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Dak Prescott.
No, I don't think Kenny Pickett showed enough last year where Cowboys would want to take a chance on that.
Even with that first rounder, you wouldn't take a chance on maybe you drafted another guy, you got three guys in a room, and, and you still?
No.
I think the reality is what you're saying right here, is, and I agree with you, but what you're saying right here is there's really no option to trade Dak Prescott unless you go team by team and really find a good landing spot for him.
Correct. By the way, Prescott has an unsecured $29 million base salary and then a $5 million fifth day of the league year roster bonus due on March 17th. So I guess $29 million is kind of the hit. That's really what he's talking about right now. It's $29 million. Somebody might take that chance for $29 million. Yeah. See, here's my problem with the Cowboys, okay? If you're going to trade Dak Prescott, this team is built to win now. Now. If you're going to trade Dak Prescott, you better bring in somebody that you know can get it done. And all those names you mentioned do not make me feel any better than Prescott right now. None of them. Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, doesn't matter who they are. Nobody gives you a good feeling versus Prescott.
Yeah, even if you threw in middle-of-the-pack guys in that conversation, you're probably saying no and going to Dak Prescott. Like, yeah. Statistically, Kirk Cousins is Dak Prescott,
right.
And you probably wouldn't do that trade either.
Well, because it's coming off a major injury.
Yeah.
An Achilles injury.
Yeah, and then he's also got his own contract to deal with.
100%. Like, I guess the question is this. If you could find a quarterback that's on the block that you would rather have than Dak Prescott, I would love to know who that is.
Baker?
I don't think you really think Tampa Bay is going to be trading Baker Mayfield after what just happened this year?
And how cheap they got him on an initial deal? No
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And by the way, the Cowboys could have had him. They passed. They could have had Baker Mayfield.
Anyone could have had him.
Sure. They passed on it.
He was scout team defense for Carolina.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But, I mean, there's nobody out there right now that's available that you could say is a better option for the Cowboys than Dak Prescott. That's the toughest part about it.
Deshaun Watson for Dak Prescott.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
I'm just going through all the lists right now. I don't think these are good options, but I'm just going down the list.
Deshaun Watson in 2023 is not a better option than Dak Prescott.
Agreed.
The Browns would love that. Browns would take Dak Prescott over Deshaun Watson any day of the week.
Yeah, they'd probably throw in a second in, in that conversation too.
But that's
because
not,
they're just one quarterback away.
But that's not happening.
No.
I think there's no way the Cowboys are giving that kind of money to Deshaun Watson, who has a huge question mark in front of him right now. So, no, that's not better either. I haven't heard one better option right now in terms of Prescott. If there's one quarterback you could throw at me that's on the block that makes more sense, you tell me. And I'll be the first to say pull the trigger. But I haven't heard it yet. All right, we got 19 in front of 7. Come back, wrap things up. Miners tomorrow night back in action, and they've got probably the best chance they're going to have to win their first Conference USA basketball game. We'll talk about that during our final countdown right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.